Well, you're listening to the Charisma News Podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network, one daily news story well told. I'm your host, Jeff Struss. Well, debate has been raging for the last few decades on whether or not Christians, churches, in general, should be involved in the civic process, in voting, in politics at all. And we may never have seen a more divided time in our nation than right now since the Civil War. Our guest today has a strong stance on why he believes every believer needs to be involved and wants to share about a special day coming up that he thinks you should be involved in. That story right after this.
This fall, Liberty University is celebrating 50 years of training champions for Christ. Since 1971, Liberty has been training Christ-centered men and women with the values, knowledge, and skills essential for impacting the world, a vision that continues today. The story of Liberty University is one of unwavering faith, and we invite you to be part of the next chapter. With more than 700 programs online and on campus, Liberty can help you turn your vision into a future you can be proud of. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. Again, that's liberty.edu.
Well, our guest today is Paul Isaacs, and he is the vice president and in charge of national outreach for My Faith Votes. And My Faith Votes is a organization dedicated to help Christians pray and think biblically about the voting process. Paul Isaacs, welcome to the podcast.
Great to be with you, Jeff.
Hey, likewise, and I always enjoy the podcast that we have together, and our audience does as well. I know you're someone who, you know, is passionate about what he's doing, and so I tell you what, let's just go right into it. There's a special day coming up regarding voting. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we created a few years ago this idea of National Voter Registration Sunday. There was a group on the far left that invited us to do a National Voter Registration Day. And we thought, well, we're about people of faith and encouraging them to vote. So we're not interested in that day specifically, but what we are interested in is having a Sunday where we're going to encourage Christians to bring solutions that come from their faith into the ballot box. So we decided the fourth Sunday of every September, so this year it's September 26th, we think that voter registration is the first critical step in the voting process. And we want to challenge every church in America to hold at least one voter registration drive each year, whether that's in person or online or both. But by hosting this type of drive at your church, you can help people register to vote or request an absentee ballot or access voting information, receive election reminders so that they'll never miss a single election. Now, I'll finish with this. The goal of each voter registration drive is to equip and resource your church to increase voter turnout. And you may say, well, why? We say because our faith has something essential to contribute to the issues in our communities, in our nation.
Now, is this something that it takes place within, you know, the physical location of local churches?
Yeah, they can. And so what we have is we have a voterregistrationsunday.org website that provides the person who is interested in hosting or maybe running the event everything that they need to host the event. There's a toolkit, there's a guide, everything that it answers every possible question and really encourages them on how to even approach their pastor, because likely they're very passionate. But as you and I both know, pastors get pulled in so many different directions. So one of the things that we try to encourage people is if you're passionate about this, always approach your pastor with a posture of serving, not in a like a bombastic or you've got to do this or, you know, no, we really want to be like Jesus, and that is, He came to serve, not to be served. And so that's what we want to do with our church, is to serve the people of our church, serve our pastors in this way by either hosting it there at the church, because it's not a partisan event. it's just simply a way to serve the church in registering people to vote.
Well, I love what you're saying as far as our listeners who may be, you know, very enthusiastic about this whole process. And, you know, it makes a difference in how you approach the pastor mm-hmm. or leader of the congregation with something like this. Now, in regards to it being held within the local church, is this something that, you know, churches are allowed to do under our laws in America?
Absolutely. See, one of the things that we have mistakenly held as a view of the church is that the church shouldn't be involved in politics. And we kind of have to go to the root word of what does it mean? What does politics mean? And really, the Greek word means the affairs of the city. So should a church be a part of the affairs of the city where it meets? Should they be involved in feeding the poor or having a voice in the arts and media and education, like on school boards and families, you know? And if we were to abandon those things, who or what are we abandoning them to? Now, you and I both believe, and I think most of the people that were listening would agree that God cares about the people in the farming communities, in the cities, in the states, in the nations. And so why would we avoid being salt and light as residents in these places? And the founding fathers, I think in particular, Patrick Henry's quoted as saying, the great pillars of all government and of social life, virtue, morality, and religion. This is the armor, my friend, and this alone that renders us invincible. We have to be involved in these things. Now, that doesn't mean we, as church, one thing we cannot do is we cannot, as leaders, say, vote for this person or vote this way. But we can say, vote for life when it comes to issues. We can speak to the issues. We just don't endorse parties, because I think we would all agree that God doesn't ride on the backs of donkeys or elephants. But we also would say we cannot endorse certain politicians. But we do want to influence the outcomes of elections by voting from a worldview that holds biblical Judeo-Christian values.
Now, I know since our last presidential election, brought a lot of skepticism. I think maybe even there may be believers out there right now that said something to the effect like, I'm never voting again, or I'm done with this. What would you say to that person?
Well, let me ask you, are we talking about voter integrity and that issue? Is that
sure.
What you're saying?
Yep.
Yeah, I would say this, as someone who could get cynical, who works in these things, and as someone who's lived long enough, 50 years, to have been involved in a few elections, we can always say that it's not necessarily the candidate that gets the most votes, it's the person who's counting the ballots that matters. And I think that the Bible does teach us that the heart is deceitfully wicked, and that power, there's a lust for power that a lot of people have. And so I do think that we must continue as a society that understands that we live in a fallen world. We can't just accept that the elections will always have integrity without our involvement in that, because power corrupts, and that temptation to hold on to the power causes people to compromise their own integrity. So with that said, there are many people in our country right now, more than ever, and I want to encourage the listeners. Many people are working toward the security and integrity of elections. And I know that we at My Faith Votes are. We have our own website called electionintegritynow.org. And you can go there and find out what we're doing. But these are things that, yes, we must work to secure as we safeguard the integrity of our elections. Let's make every effort to pray as Christians. We need to pray that, because the enemy wants to discourage God's people in this area. But Paul tells us this, Jeff, to not grow weary in doing good. And voting is good. It's a gift from God that we have, that many people try to get to the United States so that they can live in a country that they have a voice like this. Because Paul says this, because we will reap a harvest if we don't faint. So don't grow weary in doing good. Don't let the enemy discourage you from voting, because we'll reap a harvest if we don't faint.
Do you think with all the attention that we've been putting on issues that affect Christians, are there still believers out there that aren't registered to vote right now?
That's a great question. According to Barna Research in 2016, 61% of evangelical Christians voted in 2016. Now, I know that we increased that percentage in 2020 with the help of a lot of like-minded organizations, but we really need to encourage that. That's the very least we can do in this process. We must stand for religious freedom. We must stand for life and the sanctity of life, for families and marriages and justice across the board. So, yes, there are Christians who kind of take a fatalistic view and say, well, you kind of alluded to it earlier, or, you know, maybe I shouldn't be involved. God's got this whole process worked out. No, he has commanded us to subdue the earth, and this is one way we do it.
Oh, that's amazing. And, you know, it still is incredible to think that, you know, as we see the headlines, I'm thinking about even just some of the school board meetings that have made national attention, where, you know, parents are figuring out what all is being taught to their children in public schools. And, you know, the school board positions in the vast majority, these are, you know, elected positions that people get voted into these positions. And so I think when you look at even just school board nominees, from maybe what seems the most local type of elected official to that of the presidential office, it's really hard to overstate how important it is for believers to get involved in this process. Do you agree?
I totally agree. So that all politics is local. And again, we're talking about the affairs of the city. Should Christians really be involved in what is being taught to the next generation? And I think that's such almost a silly question to ask. Of course we should be. And so that is a tremendous opportunity to influence our communities is to run for school board. Now, I want to give you another example of something that has so far more reaching and more significant impact than what we would think. So let's go out to California right now and let's look. They're recalling a governor out there. Are you familiar with that race?
Yes. Yeah,
what's
so,
happening out there?
So Governor Newsom right now is facing a recall election.
Yes.
Is it the 9th? When is the actual the election happening?
I think it's not this week, but it's next week.
Okay.
And here's why that recall is so much bigger than what we would think on its face. So Governor Newsom, let's say he doesn't get recalled because there has to be the right amount of votes for him to just get recalled. There's a yes or no. And then they vote on who would be his replacement. But he has to be recalled first. Now, they have the signatures to even have this going up for a special election. But he has to get recalled. Now, let's say he gets recalled, and let's say Larry Elder, let's for instance say, and I'm not asking or telling anybody from California to vote for him. I'm just saying what Larry Elder has done and has said. If Larry Elder were to become the governor of California, there's a Senate seat right now with Dianne Feinstein, who's been there for a long time.
Yep.
And many of us know her voting record when it comes to life. But we realize now that I say this with very much sensitivity to her plight, but apparently she's not been seen for a while. She's 88 years old, and I don't think she's in good health. If she has to step down from her post in this term, Larry Elder has said that he will replace her, because he has the power to do so, with a Republican senator. Once that happens, this 50-50 tie that we're looking at is no longer 50-50.
Right.
It's 51-49. That's how important it is for voters to go out, Christians to go out and vote if they care about certain things. Again, I'm not saying, please hear me, I'm not saying vote for Larry Elder. I'm not saying how to vote. I'm saying these elections that we think may not have as big an impact, they do have a big impact across the nation.
Well, I'm thinking of the news out of Texas, where Texas has almost effectively eliminated abortion in the state. And as of yesterday, the last maybe 48 hours, the leading opposition right now is the Satanic Temple in Texas, who is claiming, well, they, I mean, it's true for them that women committing abortions is a ritual act of worship in the Satanic Church. I mean, you can't get more clear. If you're a believer and you're saying, well, this doesn't affect, you know, well, that's politics, that doesn't have to do with my faith. Well, tell that to the Satanists that are right now blatantly saying that women killing their children in the womb is part of their Satanic worship. I don't know. I'd be hard pressed to find a more clear example that as believers we have to be involved.
Right. Oh, it's, and so those are local elections that came up with that whole thing. You know, you think, and I ran for state senate in Ohio, so I understand a heartbeat bill. That's why I ran, and this is directly related to the hearing of a heartbeat in Texas, if I'm not mistaken. And so what happens is you have a majority of people in their legislature that believe in the sanctity of life, and they have a governor that has stated and believes in the sanctity of life, and he signed this bill into law. And so these are elections that some people just throw away because they might come out every 4 years and vote for a president. No, it's so important. And I will say this as it relates to the Satanists there. You can kind of know when you're on the right side of history. When the Satanists are on one side, I should probably be on the other side of that issue. And I think we'll look back at this time, Lord willing, if as we work toward revival in our country and say, this was true and this was going on, and thank God there were people who stood in the gap and opposed this barbaric ritual called abortion.
Yeah, and again, the abortion topic is just the, you know, just that one simple issue where you just say, this is God's word here, that we need to make sure we have a voice in our country. We need to use that voice. And so bringing this full circle, when you're talking about, listen, September 26th is that national voter registration Sunday, and you are, you know, you're calling out to churches around America to participate, to encourage the people of God in this nation. Say, listen, you're not going to be able to cast a vote against abortion if you're not registered to vote. And this is where it just becomes so clear how important this initiative really is.
If I could put it in another way, when you think of 61% of evangelical Christians vote, let's think about that. That means that on average, 4 out of 10 people in our church are not voting. And the numbers are worse in off elections and local elections. So we have this enormous opportunity to bring the good of our faith into the public square, to influence our government and elect leaders who stand by the defense of our values as Christians. It almost gets to this point, and Jeff, if I could say something that sounds a little strong, I would say that voting is a good thing. I think you and I would agree with that, right?
Yeah, of course.
It's a good thing. The Bible says that he that knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. Those are strong words, and they're not my words; they're God's words. I believe that voting is a good thing. It's a gift from God that He has given us, and we should steward that good thing, steward it very well and wisely.
Well, it is it's that responsibility, because this always comes back to stewardship. We have rights, we have responsibilities, we have privileges in America, and my goodness, we need to be using those, acting upon them, and making a stand, taking a stand for righteousness. Paul, we're about at the end of our interview for today. If there's a believer or a pastor out there that wants to get involved in National Registration Sunday, Voter Registration Sunday, where would they go?
They would go to voterregistrationsunday.org. Voterregistrationsunday.org. And there's a complete toolkit there, a guide, there's a webinar, everything that is there that could answer any questions that you might have.
Awesome. Well, we so appreciate the work that you're doing with My Faith Votes, praying God's continued blessings upon you. And as always, it's great to have you on the podcast, and we look forward to the next time.
I do too. Thank you so much, Jeff.
Hey, God bless. Well, you've been listening to the Charisma News Podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network, one daily news story well told. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and share the broadcast with your friends and family. It's a great way to help get great information to those that you love, and it helps us grow the podcast. Until next time, God bless.